The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Welcome in to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glidewell. Now let's jump into AAA. The first story we have today is after 12 years in the league, Arizona Cardinals defensive end J.J. Watt has announced to retire from the NFL following the 2022 season. Watt was a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time Pro Bowler, five-time first-team All-Pro, 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year, and even finished second in MVP voting in 2014. What are y'all's thoughts on J.J. Watt retiring now? And where do you think he ranks all-time among defensive players?
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's easy kind of set aside there, but he really is one of the greats. To compare him to all-time, you look at what position was he really in? Was he really a defensive end? Was he more of a tackle? Was he more of an outside edge rushing linebacker? We'll never be able to compare positions like that because it's really hard to do in football and in NFL especially, but he really is one of the greats. I mean, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, Walter Payton Man of the Year, played with those 10 seasons with the Houston Texans and the last two with the Arizona Cardinals. He's a true great, and now he gets to go watch his brothers play with T.J. Watt and Derek Watt.
Yeah, he was a generational talent. I remember watching him with the Houston Texans, just remembering how dominant he was. And I guess one thing is I'd rather him go back and retire with the Houston Texans rather than with the Cardinals, but that's besides the point. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, and he should be looking forward to retirement. I know he's had a long career, and he's deserved it.
Yeah, echoing what y'all said, I think he definitely is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, and he's most definitely one of the best defensive players of all time. I'm glad to see that he's retiring for, like, the right reasons, to spend time with his son and his family, and kind of prioritizing his health, considering the health scare he had earlier in the year with his heart beating out of rhythm. So I'm glad to see that J.J. Watt's recognizing that and going to spend time with his family. All right, the second story we have today is guard Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks came back from down 9 points with 33 seconds left to force overtime and secure a win against the New York Knicks. Doncic erupted for an absurd 60 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists, which was the first 60-point, 20-rebound triple-double in NBA history. I know it's kind of early, guys, but looking at what he's done so far, what do you think Luke will be the future face of the NBA?
Yes. If we keep going at this pace right now, he will be the future face of the NBA, and it's looking like that could be very sooner rather than later. I mean, that game against the Knicks where he went for 60, 21, and 10, ranked sixth on the all-time scale of game performance, individual game performance of all time, sixth of all time, behind like Kobe's 81-point game, a few of MJ's games, Karl Malone's 60-point game, one of Kareem's game. Like, that's crazy to think about. And just the way that he did it, yes, just like you said, Alex, come back down from 9 points and with 33 seconds left and securing overtime the way they did off the missed field goal, we could be seeing a true – we talk about generational talents. We see a lot of generational talents, but this one could be a little different, and it could be starting right in front of our eyes right now.
Well, y'all talk about future player, future candidate player for the NBA. He is right now. I mean, this is current Luka. Everyone looks forward to seeing Luka. When you think about the NBA, you're thinking about Luka. So I think right now he is the face of the league, and it's just – going to continue to get better for him moving forward. And really now getting into this, you look at what happened with how the Mavericks traded away Trae Young for Luka during draft night and that whole shenanigan. And obviously looking right now, I think the Mavericks won that trade. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fair trade for both sides. I know y'all kind of might disagree with that. But both these teams have reached the conference finals. Neither of them won it. But I think both these teams have kind of failed to build around the talent of Trae Young and Luka Doncic. But I do think when it's all said and done, Luka Doncic will be better than Trae Young and have a better career. But as of right now, they're both very similar in what they've done. So maybe Luka's going to be better all said and done, but we will see.
Right. What about you? What are your thoughts on
I don't know.
this?
I think that's so lopsided. I think a lot like you, Nathan, because yes, I do see like the wins and the playoff, and just like Alex said, you can't. You also have to consider the talent around him, and neither of these two franchises have done a very good job at getting and keeping talent around those two players. But just looking at individual and just like Alex said, like looking towards the future. I think it'll be Doncic, no doubt, is the better player.
All right,
Indeed.
Nathan, what do you got for college football this weekend?
Yeah, we've been missing it. But let's go ahead and jump right into Alabama playing Kansas State in the All-State Sugar Bowl. Alabama ended up winning 45-20 in Bryce Young and Will Anderson's last game, as they have declared for the NFL draft, as well as Jahmyr Gibbs. Bryce Young was extraordinary, 15-21, 321 yards and 5 touchdowns. Going out last game, you have nothing to hold back. And I know most people in his situation would have sat out during the bowl game, but he him and Will Anderson wanted to make a point that they're true to their team, and they did that. Alabama started off slow. Kansas State had a 10-0 lead in the first quarter, and then Alabama started to pick it up on offense. And then another huge person on the defense end was Brian Branch. He was all over the field. Really, you can't ask anymore. He had a pick. Doran Battle had a pick. They were all over the field, and it really looked like they waited all year to bring us the best performance. Gray, what did you see from Bryce Young to prove that he's one of the best Alabama quarterbacks ever?
He's definitely solidified himself as the number one pick in this game. He was making throws that, we've come to expect from Bryce Young, but we haven't seen him make, especially so far this year. And that's caused a little bit of like, okay, maybe is CJ Stroud better? What about, what about this guy? What about that guy? No. Bryce Young's the best quarterback in college football, and he proved it in this game. And Nathan, just like you said, Kansas State came out hot, that 88-yard run by Deuce Vaughn to go up 10-0. I was like, well, maybe we actually do have a game, because I did not think this one was going to be anywhere close to a good game. But then Alabama just put the gas on the pedal and didn't take it off. Bryce Young was fantastic. And just like you said, I want to shout out again, Brian Branch on the defensive end was everywhere. He was in on every single tackle. He was making every single pass deflection. He got the interception. He was who we finally expected. We wanted to see from Brian Branch. What about you, Alex?
Just to announce, Brian Branch did declare for the draft just a minute ago. Gonna be sad to see him go along with Bryce Young, Will Anderson, and Jahmyr Gibbs. All these guys have been so great all year. Kind of sad that they weren't able to secure a national championship with this squad, even though they think Will and Bryce got it as freshmen, as backups. But in this game, the offense was really good. Don't know where it's been all year. Bill O'Brien decided to call the best plays at the end of the year when. We weren't in the playoff. We could have been if we actually ran the offense well. But like y'all said, Brian Branch, an amazing game to go out with. He had 12 total tackles, one sack, four TFLs, and one interception. Great to see this Alabama team fight throughout that game and come out with a win.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the Verbo Fiesta Bowl with TCU versus Michigan. TCU ended up winning 51-45. Alex, I know that you've been pulling for TCU here. You're a TCU fan in some sort. I know this game probably gave you a heart attack coming down to the last second. Go ahead and walk us through what you saw watching this game.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the game, Michigan's offense looked like they were going to just dominate this entire game, but TCU's defense really stepped up and was really the most physical defense on the field throughout entire game. They forced a couple pick six from JJ McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback. The offense for TCU really did struggle early, but with the defense, help of the defense, they really were able to kind of weather that storm and go into halftime with a 21-6 lead. And then in the third and fourth quarter, it was kind of an offense-dominated game with just body blows between Michigan and TCU. Max Duggan looked amazing. He was pressured multiple times, and I felt like he was going to go down with a sack, but he just kind of drifted in the pocket and just threw absolute dots to receivers, Quentin Johnson and Tay Barber for touchdowns. Oh, the Quentin Johnson touchdown was really crucial. It was on a third down, and I thought he was going down. But he actually threw a short crosser to Quentin Johnson for, and it went 76 yards and put TCU up 10 points. And that was in the fourth quarter. That was really the difference in the game.
Yeah, game changer.
Yeah, and then Michigan did have a chance to come down and actually win the game because TCU had missed a field goal earlier in the game, and it was only 6 points, as the final score represents. But they had trouble with the snap, as Michigan usually does in big moments. And J.J. McCarthy got a little too cocky, and they fumbled the game away. At that last play, I believe people were clamoring for a targeting call to be called on TCU. After review, they didn't give it to him, and TCU did leave the game with the win. Really proud to see that. I don't agree that it was targeting, considering the Marvin Harrison targeting wasn't called in the Georgia game. So I really like to see TCU win this game. It was very exciting, and like Nathan said, gave me a heart attack.
All right, great. Now I'm going to flip it to you. Michigan with back-to-back semifinal playoff losses in back-to-back years. What can you speak for the future of this Michigan team and J.J. McCarthy?
Obviously, Michigan had extreme success this year, had one of their best overall regular seasons that the Michigan Wolverine program has ever had. J.J. McCarthy did look really good outside of those two pick sixes in this game. He was efficient outside of those pick sixes and the fumble at the end of the game. But, not having a guy like Blake Corum, who was part of, if not a huge part of their success in the regular season, really hurt, even though Donovan Edwards did have a really good game, rushing for 119 yards. But TCU's defense just made plays down the stretch to keep that TCU offense in the game, and they made more plays than them. I think this is a good game. I think Michigan played a really good game. I think this is going to go down as one of the best instant classic type of college football game, but there are two sides of this, of a game like this, and Michigan's been on the wrong side of back-to-back playoff losses. Of course, they got blown out last year in the Orange Bowl by the eventual national champion Georgia Bulldogs, but now they don't get their chance for their revenge in the national championship. I don't know. I think they're headed in the right direction, obviously, than what they were few years ago, obviously losing to App State, but they've got to find a way to get over the hump.
Yeah. So another team we can go ahead and talk about here is Ohio State with their loss to Georgia 42-41 in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Came down to the last second field goal, which was badly missed. Watching this game, the offenses were tremendous. The defenses looked like they were falling asleep. Really dominant performance by both quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, threw four touchdowns, 348 yards. Stetson Bennett had 398 yards and three touchdowns. Really, in this game, you expected it to, come down to the wire, and it did. But for Ohio State to come up, just short like that was crazy to see. Now, I want to speak on Ohio State's future. Obviously, with two back-to-back losses to Michigan this last year and this year, and then coming up short in the playoffs. What can you say for Ohio State fans who are kind of getting to that point where they're fed up with Ryan Day, Alex?
Yeah, I think Ryan Day is doing a great job there. I know he's lost to Michigan twice, but those Michigan teams were good, and they beat good opponents. They beat Notre Dame earlier in the year. He beat South Carolina in their bowl game. But I think Ryan Day is the right guy for that job. I don't know who you go out and hire to replace him. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to want to get back into coaching after that Jaguars fiasco. But, they just came up short by a field goal. I mean, what else can you ask for Ryan Day and this team heading into this game? I don't think a lot of people gave Ohio State a chance to beat Georgia. And it just comes down to that final kick. And being an Alabama fan, I know how that feels, losing on a kick.
All right. Gray, I wanted to go ahead and give us an inside look on how the Buckeyes can improve going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, just keep improving from within. They've gotten better and better year after year. And just to echo what Alex just said, Ryan Day is the right guy for that job, and they have been really, really good. They've just got to, again, get over the hump. They've got to go to the Big House next year, Michigan, who's also, stepping up. We saw the lopsided part of that rivalry for the first 15 years of this century or so. But now it's starting to get competitive. Michigan winning the past 2 years, but both of them making the playoff this year. So you just want to see Ohio State improve. You want to see them fill in that quarterback slot, because I imagine C.J. Stroud will head to the draft, especially after this incredible performance that he had in the Peach Bowl. But again, you just want to see them improve and get back to where they know they can be and where we've seen them before.
All right. One last thing before we move on from college football. Georgia versus TCU in the national championship. Who do you have, Alex? I know you'll probably have TCU here. Am I correct in that statement?
Yeah. After the way they played against Michigan, I'd be dumb not to.
All right. Gray, what about you?
I will be a huge Horned Frogs fan on next Monday night. I really hope they can get it done. I don't know how much confidence I have in them, especially, you know, I don't know. They did play really well, but I'm going to pick Georgia.
Yeah, I think I would have Georgia too, and I think I'm actually going to root for Georgia here. So I'm the outlier in this situation.
I cannot believe you.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to college basketball, Gray.
Yeah. So what? One game for each of the Alabama teams this week. Obviously, at first SEC game, finally get into the SEC play. Alabama going to the Hump in Starkville to play against the number 21 ranked Mississippi State Bulldogs. Alabama ended up winning 78-67. Some big games included, again, Brandon Miller, 19 points. Mark Sears finally getting back in the groove for what we saw from him earlier in the season. He had 20 points. And then Noah Pringle with 10 points off the bench. And that's good, going 4-4 from the field. Alabama improves to 1-0 in the SEC. Obviously, a very good thing. Obviously, something that Kentucky and Arkansas cannot say. What does this say? What did y'all see from this Alabama team as we get started in the SEC play?
Yeah, to start with, Brandon Miller continues to do what Brandon Miller does, puts up these great performances, another double-double for him with 19 points and 11 rebounds. And then you continue to see Mark Sears be one of the driving scorers for this Alabama offense. But to reflect a more of a defensive battle, of course, with Mississippi State's great defense, Alabama was tested a lot in the paint. Similar to what we saw versus Gonzaga. And I do have to say that we committed a lot of fouls in this game, but having Tui Smith get to the free throw line 15 times and him only making three pretty much secured the win for us. What I like to see more from this Alabama team is to stop turning the ball over. I sound like a broken record every single week when we get on the show, and I have to look at the scores chart and we had 19 turnovers. It's pretty crazy how we're just giving away the ball. I think there's a point in the game where Javon Quinterly turned it over in back-to-back possessions and you really just facepalm him and wonder why are you doing this? Why is he in the game at that point? So it's just one of those frustrating things to see, but overall it was a great win, great road game, great way to start off SEC play. Alex, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, Brandon Miller and Mark Sears are really the leaders of this team, usually being leading scorers. But also Noah Clowney, playing the center position for the majority of these games, does an amazing job locking down opposing centers. He's miles better than Charles Bediako, considering he can shoot from more than five feet out from the goal. Yes. Charles Bediako really is a liability on the offensive end of the court. I don't think he'll be there next year, probably. Like Nathan said, the turnovers are really becoming an issue for this team. Both guards had four turnovers, Jaden Bradley and Javon Quinterly. Going to need to fix that very quickly when they get into these tougher opponents like Kentucky. I think they have this weekend. But this Alabama team really does look very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with y'all. So moving on and talking about the Auburn Tigers, they got a home game this week on Wednesday against the Florida Gators to start off SEC play. Florida, obviously, head coach Todd Golden and head coach for Auburn, Bruce Pearl, know each other very well. Golden used to be on Bruce Pearl's Auburn staff. Then went to San Francisco. Now he's in Florida. So some connections there. But this was a defensive battle, and it stayed that way. And Jimmy Dykes, who was the color commentator in this game, noted at the end of the game, Auburn only had one more point than Luka Doncic scored in that crazy game from him. But look, I think Auburn has found their three guys who are going to be the offensive players, who are going to be the scorers, who they need to rely on, especially come you know, this time of year, and it's Jahni Broome, Jalen Williams, and Wendell Green. And those three, I mean, 14 and 11 for Jahni, 13 for Jalen Williams, and 14 for Wendell Green. Those guys need to be the leaders. They need to step up. They need to keep playing offensively the way that they have been playing. Obviously, Broome, who struggled earlier in the year, has really picked it up. His last three games, he's averaging over 16 points and 8 rebounds and over 3 blocks. That's exactly what you wanted to see from him. He's the quote-unquote replacement for Walker Kessler from last year. That's exactly what you want to see from that guy. But Florida coming in this game, obviously huge production off the bench. Florida's going to be a team that challenges these top-tier teams like Kentucky, Arkansas, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, maybe Auburn. What did y'all see from this Florida team in this game that shows that they may hang around with some teams here in this SEC play?
Well, I'm going to start off with this. Auburn's three-point percentage shooting-wise is atrocious. Luckily, they went against a team who really didn't know what they were doing shooting the three ball with a whopping 15% from behind the arc. This Florida team can be dominant at times. They have the recipe. They have the talent. They have the coaching. They just got to make shots, and they got to stop turning the ball over. Last play of the game, you know, crucial time, Nick Haselton bounced the ball off his foot. I mean, that's a crucial turnover. That is really what, you know, gave the game away. From this Auburn team, they continued to compete. They were down a lot in this game, and they just continued to work back and claw back at that lead that Florida had. And they overtook it, and they did not give it away. But for this Auburn team moving forward, I really think that they just had to improve with their shooting. And I see a lot of these guys, like you mentioned, Graham, they are getting their confidence back. But it's really a lack of production from Auburn's bench that is holding them back as a team. Trey Ward with a whopping 0 points, zero everything pretty much, just besides a rebound. He's non-existent. Dylan Caldwell with 2 points. And, you know, I can just go ahead and pick all the way up and down that bench right there, and I see zero production whatsoever, and that's ultimately what's going to hold Auburn back from having a great season.
Yeah, they're really lucky to get out of that game against Florida. One to point out that Auburn actually kind of did limit their turnovers in this game from previous games. They had 15. That's kind of a lot, but it's better than what they've been doing. So that's something to look at for improvement for Auburn. Not a lot to look at improvement-wise there, especially from their shooting, like Nathan said. But I really don't understand why this Auburn team is ranked. They haven't beat a good opponent. When they play good opponents, they barely beat them like they did Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll find out more about not only what this Auburn team is made about, but what a lot of the ranked SEC teams are made in this upcoming week from this SEC play. So, Alex, what do we have from the NFL this past weekend?
Yeah, so last week, Las Vegas Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels announced QB Derek Carr would be benched for the last two games of the season in favor of backup Jarrett Stidham, who played at Auburn. Gray's very familiar with him. Losing 37-34 to the 49ers on Sunday, Stidham played fairly well with 365 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, one of which was kind of crucial for the game as the 49ers returned it instead of a game-winning field goal in overtime. But he had the best defense in the NFL on the ropes in the 49ers. What did y'all see from Jarrett Stidham, and do y'all think he's the future of the Raiders' quarterback position?
I think he very well could be. I think this offseason is going to be very crucial, not just for Stidham, but for the Raiders and for Derek Carr to find options for that quarterback position, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, whether it's, you know, finding something for Carr or finding something for Stidham. It's going to be very crucial. But Stidham had this offense who was last week, this Raiders offense with Derek Carr looked abysmal. They looked terrible. And Stidham went and put 34 points on this number one defense in the NFL. So seeing signs of life from this really talented Raiders offense with Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Darren Waller, and more is a very good thing for them. But again, an impressive win for Brock Purdy and the 49ers. I think Christian McCaffrey has proven that he's one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL right now. Don't know why the Panthers traded him away. Still will never understand that. But I think for Jarrett Stidham, I think this couldn't have been a better game for him. Obviously, you wanted to win. obviously want to win and not have that interception late in overtime for to allow the 49ers to win. But I think this is a great first start for him.
Yeah, I don't think you want to jump the gun too early, but I will say that Derek Carr is probably done in Las Vegas. But as far as QBs taking over, you know, really, I went to the other side on the 49ers, and Brock Purdy continues to have these really, really good games. And the 49ers have struggled to find a quarterback for a while now, with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance both being out. Brock Purdy has put up these really good numbers. So really, you can make an argument for him to be the starting quarterback going forward there in San Francisco. Some other big things from this game: Josh Jacobs continues to have a huge impact with his Raiders offense, and he's really a dominant performer overall. And Devontae Adams is just, you know, Devontae Adams. It's who we see every single game from him. I really think his potential has been held back this season, having Derek Carr at quarterback. And it was nice to see him, you know, be able to make these game-changing catches. And, you know, it's really something for Christian McCaffrey to just put up these extreme numbers every single week. And like you said, Gray, Banter's trading him away is really face-palming at this point.
Yes.
Yeah, so what do y'all think the future looks like for Derek Carr? Like, where do you think he'll be next year? And, you know, with the Raiders, do you think they're going to stick with Stidham? Or are they going to go out and sign, like, a veteran free agent quarterback like a Jimmy Garoppolo? Or grab one in this year's draft?
I would expect them to go to get one later in this draft and have a quarterback competition. Maybe they can go grab somebody like Garoppolo or another veteran quarterback to kind of keep, you know, this – very talented group on offense together and, you know, just improve on them moving forward. But, you know, getting a young quarterback in could be a very good play with guys like Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Darren Waller. But I think it just depends on situations and what draft picks they choose to have and what their needs are, especially in free agency. So I think it'll be interesting. Right now, I expect him to go after somebody in the draft and have a quarterback competition between him and Stidham.
Yeah, as far as Derek Carr's future, you really look at teams with a quarterback need. The Saints are kind of iffy with Andy Dalton. You forget who the quarterback is, you see. And then a team like the 49ers with Brock Purdy at quarterback right now, I know that's been a big question mark there. And just teams around the league like the Jets. So I think overall, I think Derek Carr is probably going to end up on the Jets next season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Nathan. I think the Jets are really the team to look at for Derek Carr. They've been missing a quarterback, and I think that they get a quarterback, they'll contend for a Super Bowl with that defense the way it's been playing this year. Offense kind of held them back really with Mike White and Zach Wilson. All right, I'm going to apologize in advance, Gray. Can I have to bring this up? The Buccaneers ended up beating the Panthers 30-24 this weekend and clinching a playoff spot for the NFC South. Panthers were now eliminated from playoff contention, which is very surprising considering what happened at the beginning of the year with Matt Rhule and all that. But Tom Brady really dominated in this game, going 34-45 for 432 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. And Mike Evans had the Panthers DBs looking like Eli Apple in the Super Bowl last year, having 10 receptions, 207 yards, and three touchdowns. So what are y'all's thoughts on this? And should we expect the Buccaneers to contend for Super Bowl?
I think you can't count out the Buccaneers just because the quarterback's name is Tom Brady. But I think the MVP of the NFL needs to go ahead and be named, and his name is J.C. Horn, because without him in this game, this is the first game without J.C. Horn, it showed. And the Panthers' defensive backs, just like you said, Alex, were horrendous and could not stay in front of Mike Evans. And Tom Brady was just picking him apart in this game. With this Panthers team, I don't think a quarterback is the problem. You know, we talked about, maybe we should go get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or somebody else in the draft. Will Levis, maybe. I don't know. But Sam Darnold looked really, really good in this game. Obviously, we didn't get the production rushing that we have seen in this past with this Steve Wilkes offense. But this defense was just atrocious, especially in the defensive backfield, and really, really missed a guy like J.C. Horn.
Yeah, speaking on, I know what happened with the Panthers and the start of the year. They kind of were able to flip it around, and what was a terrible NFC South, coming from a Saints fan, really, it was anyone's division this year. There was no above the shoulders team that was around. Of course, the Buccaneers were able to pull it out. But we were sitting here a few weeks ago, and everyone in the division was tied basically, and it was up in the air. So it was really more of a matter of fact of who didn't want to go to the playoffs more than who did, because effort wise, I really didn't see any, especially from the Saints.
Yeah, like Gray said, I don't think the quarterback is the problem for the Panthers anymore. I think the way Sam Darnold's been playing has been very well, very underrated for what he's been doing. But like Gray said, the offensive weapons that he has around him are very limited. DJ Moore is really the only one that comes to mind when I think about the Panthers. So I think in the draft they need to attack that, and if not that, need to attack the defensive backfield because that's very bad outside of J.C. Horn. But kudos to the Buccaneers for winning the division and Tom Brady going to the playoffs once again. Going to be difficult. I think he's going to either end up playing the Cowboys or the Eagles, depending on who wins that division. So that'll be a good game. So kind of depressing to see the Panthers lose out. But I think Steve Wilks really earned himself the job the way they played to close out the year.
Hey, he definitely did.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.